With all the noise about cloud computing, data center consolidation, transparent government, you could almost forget the government is under mandate to make sure networks incorporate IP version 6. That's the new internet protocol that gives all sorts of security benefits. Well, how is the government going on IP version 6? Joining us with an update is the Chief Technology Officer of Quest Communications, Peter Pohl. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
So looking across the breadth of the government in the places that you do business with, how are we doing? How is the government doing with respect to getting over to IP version 6?
Well, Tom, I don't think that the government is approaching this any different than most businesses in our country. The transition to IPv6 is a slow one. I think everyone's being careful just to make sure that the internet as we know it is not disrupted.
So how does it work, though? I mean, how do you convert the IPv4 addresses and how and the legacy apps, things that go along with IPv4, and what happens if the conversion is too slow?
Well, Amy, let's back up a little and talk about what the problem is that we have here. Today we use a version of IP address which is called IP version 4. There are 4 billion of those addresses in theory, but when you think that we currently have 6.8 billion people on Earth, you can see that we have fewer than one address per person. We are right now in a scenario where we project to exhaust internet addresses are allocated by an international authority, IANA. Those are allocated to regional registries. In the United States, our addresses are allocated to us by ARIN, the American Registry for Internet Numbers. The projection is that ARIN's pool of addresses will exhaust sometime, probably in the first half of next year. That, you know, obviously isn't a good problem if you're looking for a new IP address. You know, your listeners should be familiar with this. You know, you had phone number exhaust in the Washington, D.C. area. You used to 202-301-703, and now you have 571-240 area codes like that. And it really is the same way. You have to look at an application, and you have to think about what it is that you're going to do to accommodate the new numbering scheme, just like you had to accommodate new phone numbers.
And so if you do this, aside from the exhaustion of internet protocol, of, you know, URLs that are available or addresses, there are some benefits of IP version 6 aside from that. What are some of those?
Tom, that's a very good question. The key advantage of IPv6 is the security. In IP version 4, if you are going to implement security on top of an internet connection, you basically have to implement that you know, yourself as part of the application or part of the equipment, the routers basically that are carrying the traffic. IPsec, as it's called, is actually inherent and mandatory in IPv version 6. So all connections in IPv version 6 are encrypted by default.
We're talking with Peter Pohl. He's the Chief Technology Officer of Quest Communications. So how much of a concern is there about the transition to IPv6 among, say, federal CIOs? What are you hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing from federal CIOs is not a whole lot different than what I hear from other CIOs in, you know, Fortune 500 companies. They want to make sure that, number one, they don't disrupt their business. But at the same time, they want to make sure that they're ready. It's sort of an obvious statement, but what I tell the CIOs is you really need to think about the problem it is that you're trying to solve. I mean, the first thing you have to make sure is that you don't cut yourself off from others on the internet, basically that those that are going to go to you, you know, be they in an IPv6 world, and if you're not in an IPv6 world or vice versa, you know, that's something that you figure out how you're going to accommodate it. As you go further ahead, you have to think about the transition of your enterprise infrastructure. And then if you are someone like Quest, you also have to think about it from the perspective of a carrier. You know, how do you make sure that the backbone of the global internet is going to continue to work also in both V4 and V6 environments?
So if I'm an agency CIO, I guess that's probably where the responsibility lies. And, you know, and I'm not there yet. What do you do? What's the first thing you do to get to IP version 6? I mean, my network's running. I have all my websites going. My applications and web apps are going. What do I need to do to IPv6-ify my agency?
Okay. So, well, the first thing is, again, there is not an absolute date by which the addresses will exhaust. So there is some time still to make sure that they have the network in shape. You know, upgrading things like routers is fairly straightforward. In some cases, if they're old routers, they need to be replaced so they can understand IPv6, just like, you know, back when area codes were added, some folks had to go replace their phone systems. The key thing I encourage people to do, however, is look at their applications. A lot of applications were written, and it's hard to say proper, but written in a way that they talk to the operating system and have the operating system really worry about the issues of addresses. But in some cases, just like in Y2K, where we had two-digit versus four-digit years, the concept of IPv4 is embedded throughout the application, and you actually have to go and rewrite that to make sure that it works. And we're talking here about applications from the level of, you know, could be an email application right up to things like federal payroll.
Sounds like a good case to go to the cloud.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the cloud is the applicable concept here, because if you have to talk to the cloud, you still need to figure out what your addressing is to get to the cloud. In fact, you could argue that the cloud would only accelerate the need to look at addresses.
Well, I have often wondered that what would happen after IPv6. Is there an IPv7, and do we run the risk of transitioning so slowly to IPv6 that it's going to become essentially obsolete? But the way you explain it, it doesn't work that way, and that's not likely to happen.
Well, Amy, I'm glad you asked that question. There's an interesting factoid. You know, earlier I mentioned that IPv4, there are 4 billion addresses, but 6.8 billion people today alive in Earth. If you look at it, though, when you go to IPv6, there will, in fact, be 5 to the power 28th IP addresses for every person that is currently alive. So to put that in perspective, there will be as many IP addresses per person as there are atoms in a metric ton of carbon. So I think IPv6 is going to last for some time.
Yeah, I can't wrap 5 to the power 28th.
Per person.
Per person.
So everybody can have multiple iPhones, in other words.
I think Apple would be very happy if people were buying 5 to the 28 iPhones per person.
I can't even wrap my brain around that. So, okay, so we're good. So we've got time to make this transition, right?
Well, remember, the time to the transition, though, is when we're going to exhaust the IPv4 address.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It doesn't have anything to do with how many V6 addresses.
And this conversion to IP version 6, is that something that you can go to a contractor to do? Because it sounds like application rewrite is one thing. Network infrastructure overhaul is something entirely unrelated.
Yeah, again, it certainly depends on the magnitude of the transition plan that you're facing. Again, I encourage people simply to look at what aspects of their business they want to convert. There certainly are contractors available. Carriers are also available to help with initial consultation as well, like Quest.
And so bottom line, now's the time to get started. We have a few months, but it's not going to last forever.
Absolutely. Like I said, the exhaust for Aaron is projected to take place probably sometime, I would say, late first half or so of next year.